big house, very, you know, those time, old time, big man, you know, big house, have one wife here, those kind of things. But plenty of rooms, kind of house you enter, there are many rooms, like heaven, you know, those kind of places. There are many dwelling places. So many people live there. So she came, and this is what my mother said, that she said that they should pray that there's death around. Death, death. Now, by the way, death is always around, all right? Okay, but that she's sensing death, 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 death. So what should they do now? You will fast, and you will pray, and you will sacrifice this day. My mother said they did everything she commanded. And then one day, my auntie took a title. I've forgotten which, whether in a church or na, but a title, sha. So everybody in the house was celebrating. I was in university there. I was just a year two student. So one of my cousins, he too was celebrating. My auntie owned a business, so he had a pickup van. So in their celebration, they don't drink. The boy, so the driver went to go and pick some things. The boy decided to, you know, the way policemen do it, just jump at the back of the pickup. And that guy took a speed, you know, it was a bump in the road. He took it at high speed, flung the guy off the back of the pickup. The guy hit his head on the road and died. After all the praying, all the fasting, all the sacrificing, it happened. My mother said, one thing she knows is that there's never any time she says something good will happen, that thing will ever happen. But her negative prophecies never fail. Never. But again, that's not my gist. It was one day my mother and I were talking at home. And she laughed. She said, oh, those are the days of blindness. That's why I'm talking about it. Ah, that me? Now, find me in such places? God forbid, bad thing. He said, once he saw the woman, because he was from my place, so my parents went home one day. So I said, ah, she greeted them long time. That she has not seen them in a very long time. Ah, they just gave her a diplomatic answer. My mother said, ah, see who? See who? According to her, I have been delivered. Why? How did deliverance come? There was a man, Dr. Lufarati, he has died now, died a few, about, I think, last year or so, all right? Powerful man of God. He began to teach the word of God. I don't know how somebody invited my mom there. Then the next thing I knew, the whole family was going there. He was not a joking man. What they used to do was preach every week. You gathered in his sitting room. Now, if not prayer, the man knew how to pray godly prayer, not vision, kind of nonsense vision prayer. In fact, you are just come to him, you seek. That's the best time to get to know him. He will pray for you, you will get well by force. But that's not the issue. He will teach you the word of God until your head correct. Without saying anything, as he was teaching and teaching and teaching, every week we will go. This was, I mean, his sitting room became full. They put benches outside. Finally, he had to negotiate with his church. So he could be using the church hall because he was a veterinary doctor, was practicing in the government service. So just used to do this ministry thing, well, what some people call part-time, but luckily full-time for him. So he now moved to the church, and on his prescribed day, that is, his congregation was bigger than that church itself. That just used to come from everywhere. But what he used to do was just preach the word of God. I was there. Preach the word of God. I still consider one of the most anointed men I ever met. I've told the story before of the man, never tell the story of a man who he splashed water on somebody and he stopped on the way to say, please, I'm sorry. And that one was railing and cursing and cursing and cursing. After a while, he got angry. I said, listen, stop that. I'm a man of God. Nobody talks to me like that. So the person, look, there's an anointing upon my head. You don't transgress that anointing like this. That one was still talking. It's okay. I hereby return all your curses to you. That man just dropped that and died. No, not a joking man. I'm not talking about jokers. The man dropped and died. On the spot. He said there were two of them. The other one, and I don't know about here, but you know in the West, when you see things like that, you know, say this man is a powerful man. Said the other one beside him, who had cooled down earlier, he was driving, you know, like driving on the road, maybe near a village. That was when this happened. Out of typical courtesy for someone like him, he came down, he begged them, prostrated, everything. They were just angry, village men. You know what I mean? Just talking. That's why he just told him, look, I hereby return your curses to you. That one, he just dropped, boom, and died. The other one saw it. That is race. He ran to the village to go and gather people. He said he waited there. He just relaxed beside his car, beside the dead body. The villagers came. Those who could kneel down, knelt down. Those who could prostrate, they were begging, please forgive him. Don't mind the foolish man. After they had finished, he said, I warned him that I am an anointed man of God. You don't talk to me anyhow. After they finished begging him, he had calmed down by then. He went to the body, put a hand on it, commanded the guy to come back to life. The guy coughed, woke up. He entered his car and drove away. The kind of person I'm telling you about. Now, that was the kind of person that began to teach and we used to go and listen to. Without anybody saying, look, prayer house, no prayer house. My mother disappeared from prayer house long ago. She learned that if you want to pray, pray here. If you need prayer, we'll go and meet this man. He will pray the real prayer of God. No visions. He's not promising anybody any visions. Just used to teach the word of God. Every week, we'll go there. Every week. As I listened to him before I entered university. Every week, around 6 or 7 in the evening, we'll go. In his house for like 2 hours. Because he taught people the knowledge of God. That's what I'm talking about. They were no longer corrupted with smooth words. Understanding is what prevents you from being corrupted by smooth words. No matter who is talking, if you know God in an area, there are things you don't just swallow. That's the only time I sit down, people start doing calculation. Give $77 so that you get sevenfold offering, then sevenfold breakthrough. This is how I'll be looking at you. I'll be looking at you like this. No, it won't work. It won't work. And my reason is simple. Are you not being stubborn? Stubborn about what? I've heard all kinds of calculations in this, my Christianity. Which one have I not heard? I've heard 10,000 for the Father, 10,000 for the Son, 10,000 for the Holy Spirit. I've heard that one. I've heard $58 for 58 blessings. Which one have I not heard? 7 is the number of completion. 5 is the number of grace. You multiply it together, your grace will be completed. And you know, when they come to Nigeria, abroad they can collect $58. 58 naira here no go work. So guys, you just multiply it. So you give 58,000. What have I not heard? 24,000 naira for a 24-hour miracle. As I said, I'm looking at you like this. If you talk from now to tomorrow, I'm not shifting. Why? Listen, before you were called to ministry, I was blessed. Listen, you can't move me. If you need money, open your mouth and say, bros, ministry need this thing. That's it. You're my guy. If I have a law, no good thing occurs where I am without my participation. I learned that from Bishop Oyedepo. He said it's not safe. How can something good be happening and your name is not there? That's just my own principle. If I enter a church today and I see a good work that is going on, even if I don't know how to do something big, quickly I do the one I can there and then, and then I go. If it's a place where I'm aware it's a good work, all I need personally is tell me it's a good work. Persuade me. I'll be telling all this kalo kalo. When you give God 1,000 burnt offerings, God will be excited. Listen, God finished with burnt offerings long ago. Once Jesus Christ was knocked to the cross, all his excitement died. That's why I'll just like that. I'll be crossing my leg. I've seen people sweat. I will never. Listen, this is how you get money from Christians. Say, brethren, we have work to do. The other day, just by the way, for those who want to understand, my alumni fellowship, where I'm the president, once, one brother gave as an offering towards the, because we have a 3-day convention every year, though we have a convention year, but 3 days a year we gather, and we gather in large numbers, and we spend money. Any hotel we take, we close it, essentially. Let me tell you, the way we've been using for the last few years is Precious Palm Royal Hotel. Sometimes when we are through, we are begging them for more rooms, they can't find. And each person just shows up, writes your name down. That's all. Food is free, accommodation is free. That weekend, we blow 4 million naira, 3 days. That's how we spend it. Where does the money come from? We don't charge anybody anything. Just walking. So where do we get the money? It's simple. Okay, so brethren, all right. We'll need money for the next convention here. Everybody take a piece of paper, write what you are giving so that we'll remind you. That's all. That is all. That's all the talk. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is all the talk. That's how you deal with Christians. All this one of 15,000 naira for 15 kinds of blessings. It's nonsense. When you see real Christians, they don't need that. Now, I'm digressing to just point out an issue. Talking about knowledge. Knowledge. That's why people are getting that. They are doing all the calculations. If you give 5,000 naira, you multiply by this and grace will be amplified in your life. This is how I'm looking at you. How will grace be amplified in my life? The Bible says, Peter said, grace is amplified through the knowledge of God. Not through any offering. This is how I'll be looking at you. As I was, I've seen people tell me that God spoke to me. I said, you don't lie. God didn't tell you anything. I know where this your message came from. Just don't lie about it. Now, this is the point. Why do I have... some Christians are afraid. People are afraid. Why do I have that boldness? Why is it that somebody is saying that I'm just looking at him? He said, there may be a blessing. I just don't need it. Yeah, there may be a blessing. I just don't need it. You don't want a blessing? I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If I need anything, I ask God for it. I walk faithfully. That's all I need. I'm not going to use the word of any man to claim anything from God because I gave him money. Never. Say, Lord, you know that man of God said, if I give 10,000 naira, say, prove me now. Prove me now, Lord. Let's prove each other. There are simple words that I can use to prove God. Yes, now. Let me kneel down now. Abi? Let me ask now, in his name now. That's all. People say that, but Hannah promised God a son. I said, Hannah didn't have the name of Jesus. And that son, God collected it on credit, if you know what I'm going to say. He collected Jesus Christ long ago. I already gave him that one. He died for all, that all who live now no longer live for themselves. That's all I need to do. I've carried my life given to Christ. So that means Jesus Christ, God collected it on credit. In quotes, if anybody is the one owing. I don't know what I get with my logic there. He collected it 2,000 years ago. I'm not afraid. That's why I'm never afraid. I'm never afraid. I'm bringing an issue here. Why? What gives me that confidence? Why is it that I cannot be swayed by smooth words? It's knowledge. What did I call it? What did I call it? Knowledge. He said, those who know their God. He said, this man will use smooth words, all right, to distract them towards doing wickedly, those who you find turning against the covenant of God. He said, but if they actually know their God, they will be strong. They will display strength, and they will take action. Nobody will be able to smooth talk them into doing that which is against the will of God. A man came to me once. He said, this was before the days of biometrics. Now it won't work anymore. But those before they started using biometrics, as if scanning your eye, taking all your fingerprint, like got temprinting you, you know. So American visa, something, something for sale, American permit. Say 400,000 naira. Hey, that time 400,000 will buy you a very nice small, you know, Tokumbo. We are an old Jetta. I remember I just looked at him. I said, if they dashed me for free, I wouldn't collect it. He said, I forgot. I asked the wrong person. I said, I'm happy you know you asked the wrong person. I considered it an insult to be made that kind of offer. You will give me somebody else's American visa, residency permit, and I will go on that name, denying my father, my mother, my brothers, my certificates, and it's everything I've done in life. This beautiful name, Bankole, you know, now it's something called Abdullahi. What kind of insult is that? Why? Because I want to go and work to earn money. Why can't I work here and earn money? You know, something just in the movement. You know, like I said, there are things I don't consider temptation. No, I don't know. You have to be stupid to call some things temptation. It's still money, let's share it. Is that temptation? You might as well go and carry sana and say, oh boy, see better sana, let's share it. And I'll call it temptation. You want to poison me, I call it temptation. Say, this food, when we're cooking it, we put a lot of weed killer inside. The meat was boiled inside, what do you call it? Insecticide. Can't you feel the aroma? Yes. Take your portion. He said, I'm just offering it because you are hungry. Are you getting my point? Some things are not temptations. They're not. It's not tempting. But why is it not tempting? It's because I know my God. I know the power to give me everything lies with Him. I'm more afraid. And for my friends, Brendan and I were talking this evening. I said, listen. And they say fear of God. A Christian should not fear God. You know, we don't fear Him as fear a rattlesnake. What we do is that we just reverence Him. I say it's a lie. The Greek word for fear is fear. The Hebrew word for fear is fear. The English word for fear is fear. The Igbo word for fear is fear. The Hausa word for fear is fear. The Swahili word for fear is fear. The Yoruba word for fear is fear. The French word for fear is fear. You don't fear God like a rattlesnake. Better fear the rattlesnake. Yes, fear God like you fear a rattlesnake. Because there is a side of God. But like I told my brother, I said, in case you forget, go and ask Ananias and his wife. They said, that one's Old Testament. No, that one's a New Testament. Now, Peter do those people in. With Peter even said the girl loves herself, the woman. The husband don't die, he said, hide the body. The woman came and said, hey, let me see whether you are together. Was this what happened? He said, yes, my Lord, that was what happened. Okay, boys, bury the second. The girl just died. They say fear as a Christian, fear just means to reverence. Reverence is good, amen? It also means to be afraid. Yeah, and I'm telling you. That's why some things are not temptations. You don't want to annoy God. You'll bite you like a rattlesnake does. And his own poison, more deadly. Now, please, I'm explaining the issue of what? Knowledge. Why it is not possible to smooth talk somebody who has good knowledge of God. You can't smooth talk the person. We're talking about prayer and personal purification. And I said, what is the prayer side of it? That's what I'm talking about. Let's now read Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll continue from there. What we have been discussing is how we use prayer to keep ourselves in the center of the will of God. That's the thing. So the other scripture I want to read, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read that one. So that brings us to the issue of prayer. Verse 15. Verse 15 says, for this reason I too, it says some things of course before that. It said, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. So that you will know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the body, which is to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, there is something else. I should just read this one. The other one is from the... Anyway, we'll refer to it later. The other one is from the book of Daniel. You find that when Daniel was waiting for that angel that came after 3 weeks of his praying, he said he came to give Daniel insight and understanding. That's what he came to give Daniel. To give him insight and understanding. The point I'm trying to make here is this. You know, we're talking about all this all the while, that it's only when we don't have understanding of God, the knowledge of God, that we're easily taken by smooth words. And therefore, we are talking about prayer and personal purification. Therefore, if you want to ensure that you are not taken by smooth words, what do you go after, therefore? Answer me.
Knowledge.
Knowledge and understanding. And God says it very clearly. I will give you pastors. That word, if you see the word pastors in the Bible, people say that there are fivefold ministries. But actually, I've studied enough. I don't have time to discuss it. There are four. He said, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's how he said it. He didn't say, and some pastors and some teachers. He said, and some pastors and teachers. A pastor is not the man who visits you when you are sick. That's a deacon's job. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's an elder's job. Call upon the elders. Anyone sick amongst you, call upon the elders of the church. You understand? The primary duty of the pastor is to feed with the word of God. You understand? So that's why every pastor is supposed to teach the word of God. Every. These days we use a title actually as an administrative title. All right? Not really as a calling. You know, it's like who's in charge of this church? He's the pastor. Now, but strictly speaking, it doesn't have to be. It can be an apostle. It can be. There are many things it could be. But we're talking about ministry offices. A pastor is a teacher. All right? That's why I said he gave some as pastors and teachers. All right? He combined it together. The reason is because he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge. They will feed you with understanding. That's what they do. All right? So those are the promises of God. God realized that that one is important for the people to be stable. Stability comes from knowledge. Stability comes from understanding. So, many years ago, as a young Christian, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin taught us this Ephesian prayer, which I have not recovered from since I started hearing it in 1987, thereabout. And he said that he was a pastor for a long time, a preacher. And then one day he stumbled upon this, and he began to pray this portion of Ephesians we just read for himself. And he had so much understanding in the next few weeks and months than all his years of ministry before then. He said there was so much insight he was getting that he had to ask himself, he had to ask his wife, what on God's earth have I been preaching? I have been preaching for years. Then when he began to pray that prayer, he has so much understanding. And let me just quickly say this. Understanding is not only for preachers, though. What did I say? It's not. A preacher is supposed to have understanding, number one, and then have the ability to deliver it. Not everybody has the ability to deliver, but everybody should have understanding. The aim of the preacher of the word of God is to let you have everything that he has also, so it becomes your own. That's the idea. It is not, listen, let me just say this briefly. If I have understanding of the word of God over a broad area, and it's producing for me effectiveness in ministry, all right, preaching the word of God, somebody else who listens to me for a while, all right, let's assume, it's not good, but let's assume that I'm the only person that fellow is listening to, all right, it's not good, though. What did I say? It's not good. It's not good. That's why anytime somebody blesses me, I share the materials around. I give to everybody. Hey, go and listen to that. To bless you. I recommend the books, okay? All right? Now, I read a lot. So sometimes people say, don't worry, be reading. I'll be listening to you. It's not good. It's still not good. All right? You have to listen. But let's even assume I'm the only person the fellow is listening to. And after a number of years, the fellow has heard everything that I know. And the fellow has imbibed those things. Anything that is producing in my life in ministry, if that fellow is a businessman, he should have that degree of result in doing business. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Yes. If I'm reaching multitudes, if many lives are being transformed, his goods should be reaching multitudes, and many people should be blessed by them. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Yes. People think that learning is for preachers. No, no. It's for everybody. You're supposed to know everything I know. The only thing that you may not have a ministry hall that you teach the word from. You may not write books on spiritual subjects. You may not. Okay? Maybe less than 1 in 12 of us. Maybe about that. We do that. All right? That's just my own estimate. But the other 11 out of the 12, they are supposed to have that understanding and use it in research. They should enter into a laboratory, and the way I will open a Bible, you understand, and be able to bring out new things. It's a scribe who has been instructed in the wheels of the kingdom is like the keeper of the treasure house, all right? Who from a keeper of the house, who from his treasure brings forth treasures, both new and old. In the same manner, somebody who doesn't have my own unction concerning decoding and interpreting and explaining scriptures, but haven't heard me explain it, he goes with the same understanding. He will look at an atom and see things. You are getting my point? He will see a new area. You know, this is good property for development. Me, I will pass it every day. I'll say, this bush looks nice, so God is good. I see bush. This is property for development. All right? And that one is a salesperson. Anything he puts his hand to, sells. Some come with manufacturing abilities. They just bring the thing out of... I remember the book I recommended, the R.J. Lotono. Man said one day he entered his... he came home to sleep after a Bible... a church meeting. It finished very late. As he laid down to sleep, something entered his head. He got up and went to his study and began to sketch. Next morning, he gave to his engineers. Guys, look at the next machine we are building. It took them weeks to be able to decode his sketching and put the drawings in the proper engineering format to commence manufacturing. He did that in a few hours. Do you get my point? I'm not emphasizing the fact that everybody needs understanding. In fact, we're talking about so that you won't be carried away by smooth words. You need to know. Every Christian needs it. So I'm emphasizing the fact that this Ephesians chapter 1, Kenegan prayed it for himself until he had insight and he was able to do ministry effectively. I am saying the engineer should pray this for himself, for herself. The lawyer should come in and pray this. God will give that lawyer understanding. He will transform legal systems. And while doing that, we not soil his hands, we not soil our hands. The entrepreneur will pray this. They will have insight and understanding. That's what prayer is for. All my enemies that say I won't succeed in this business, don't worry about it. What did I say?
Don't worry about it.
What you need is what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. That in the midst of adversity, you will have the kind of insight and understanding that all your adversaries will have to shut up. All of them. All the adversaries will shut up. That's what we need. You know, all this my talk about last week is trying to emphasize to people, this prayer epidemic of pursuing people that are not the problem you have is unnecessary. So what I began to talk about, I began last time, I tried to enter it into it today, but I'm not finishing it, but I have to close now, is the fact that a critical part of your prayer life must be prayed like this, that God will give you understanding. And this is the interesting part. Every time in life, you know, there's general understanding you keep on grabbing as you are living. But every time in life, things begin to get rough. Before you start saying, this devil, wait. What you need is what? Insight first, understanding. So when things are a bit twisted, it's a time a man needs to set aside, a woman needs to pull aside and say, what is going on? God, give me insight. Give me understanding. And God will reveal himself to you different ways. You read a book, somebody tells you something, or you dream. It happens. So that's it. Forget your enemies. Forget your... The people who are sending arrows. Back to sender. I don't care where it goes. It cannot enter my heart. That's what the Bible says. Amen? No, I quench them. And quenching them is not by facing them. People misunderstand that scripture. He said, with the shield of faith, we quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. We don't understand spiritual warfare. It's not as if we are standing here. Satan, are you ready? Yes. Round one. Bing! You know, you start fighting Satan. Listen, Satan existed, but Abraham did not know. I hope you know that. Satan existed, Job did not know. I hope you know that. Satan existed, Jacob was not aware. Joseph did not know. I'm not aware Moses ever refers to him. Did they fight spiritual warfare? You can be sure they did. And I say, okay, how did they manage? Because he's not worthy of that kind of attention. Shield of faith. What is shield of faith? What is the shield? Faith. What is faith? To make a commitment to the revelation of God that you have been given. It always quenches the fiery darts of the devil, whether you know about them or not. Because when the devil is firing the fiery darts, you will not know his fiery darts. You just know his disobedience to the word of God. I don't know whether you get my point. That's all you will know. And you say, ah, the devil is firing an arrow. Guys, oh yeah, give me the shield. Mark! On a home video. In real life, this is the fairy that, sis, excuse me, has God really said, thou shalt not eat of any of the trees in the garden? No, he didn't say it like that. He said, we can't eat this one, but we can't even touch it also. You will not surely die. Can you see that? It's inciting to disobedience. That's the fairy that. But the woman of God will have said, it is written. Are you getting what I'm saying? Thou shalt not eat of it. That's it. They have quenched that. Listen, this country, you have to be smart. The way we are going, everything will soon scatter. You see what I'm saying? It wants to scare you. You don't realize it's the fairy that of the devil. It's just your friend, you know, giving you advice. You just answer, shield of faith. The young lions, they may lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. That's the shield of what? Faith. Spiritual warfare. Most people are fighting spiritual warfare. They are just doing the exercise. Right now, everybody, take your shield. Just say, every fairy dart, we block you, we block you, we block you. Bros, you don't chop. Hey, now what? Country hard. We block you, we block you. Man, will you die after this? Anything there for house? We block you. That is, he's cooperating with the devil, describing the hardness of the country. The fairy dart is entering his heart, but he's there, blocking it. You get what I'm saying? That was why Job, Abraham, you know, Moses, Jacob, Isaac, they were not bothered about the devil. All they just say simply is that don't return to that place where your father came from. Isaac said yes. Then one day he was moving in one direction. God said, don't go there. Sow in this land. He believed that word, sowed in that land. That same year, he prospered. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? What have I dropped today? We'll continue next time. Is part the crucial part of prayer and personal purification is for us to constantly pray for what? For understanding. The way Kenneth Hagin taught us, and I've not been able to improve on it, I've not seen anybody improve on it, you just simply take the scriptures and read it out and put your name there. That's all. He said that's what he did, and that's what I did. And listen, it's not just for preachers, it's for everybody. Everybody needs understanding. That's why you won't make careless mistakes in life. It's because of the understanding of the word of God that you have. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you're blessed today, say a loud amen, please.
Amen.
All right, let's rise to our feet. Let's just share the grace. I wanted us to... Anyway, we'll do that next time because of time. We'll do it next time, all right? Just give a lot of thanks for the word that came for today. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you because indeed I know I am free. Because I now know what I really need. Thank you for the freedom I have in Christ Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Say, Lord, fill my heart with understanding. I want to know you. Let us declare these words together and then we'll close. Say, the commandments of God have made me wiser than my enemies. For his words are ever before me. Say, I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers. Because his truth and his words are my meditation. Say, I understand more than the elderly. Because I keep the Lord's precepts. Say, I have understanding the word of God. Therefore, I have the wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, therefore, I have the wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, the Holy Spirit is inside me. And he gives me insight. He gives me understanding. So that I am not confused. So that I cannot be swerved by any smooth talk. Say, the Spirit of truth is in me, and it leads me into all truth. Just give the Lord thanks for that. Say, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. in the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will be blessed and abide in the presence of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
The rest of this week, I declare you blessed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say, the peace of God is with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you touch will prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you go home, you will be safe. Answer me now.
Amen.
As you return, as you come out in the morning, you will be safe.
Amen.
If you travel, you will be safe.
Amen.
If when you come back, you will be safe.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Listen, you will not die, but you will live.
Amen.
Even if you are sick right now, I speak against that sickness. I curse it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command that you are well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any part of your body that you are afflicted, I speak against it because Jesus died for you. I declare you well there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Take your hands and place it anywhere and say to it, say, peace be upon you. And the peace of God will rest there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you get to your house, you put your hand on that door. Say, peace be upon this home. Listen, favor will come there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every epidemic will disappear from there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The sick that's inside there will begin to get well.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.